Blog Talk Radio.
Stumpy's replacement,
Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing a festival, jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Well, blues jazz, really.
Blues jazz festival.
It was in the Isle of Lucy. And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
Just like that.
He just went up.
He just was like a flash of green light. And that was it. Nothing was left.
Look at his face.
Well, there was.
It's true. This truly did happen.
There was a little green globule on his drum seat.
Like a stain, really.
It was more of a stain than a globule, actually.
Dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. What's going on? And welcome to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzes. I'm your host, Joe Ganzes, and for the next hour, we'll be talking about drums, and if that's not enough, drums some more. This is a practice show for me, so it's my first show by myself. What the show is going to be about, we're going to have guests, national guests, local guests, a lot of people I know I'm going to be asking to help me out as far as drummers, talking about all aspects of drumming, drum solos, drums, what kind of drums you like, favorite drummers, all the concepts and aspects of drumming, and I'm pumped up. My show is going to be 2 hours long. Tonight it's only an hour for the practice show, but I'm pumped up. I got some great guests already lined up, And, you know, we hope to show kick some ass. I'm here to talk about drums and all aspects, like I said. And I just want to give a little background of my drumming career. I'm playing drums about 33 years. Been in dozens and dozens of bands. Played with some great musicians. And now it's just time that I give back. I love to teach. I love to do my YouTube videos. And if I could help out another drummer with some of my knowledge, that's great. I'd like to start tonight off with a topic that's really got my blood boiling. The new generation of these drummers, whether it be a young drummer or what have you, they tune their drums real high. They got the bass drum pedals, you know, really, really springy, so it's fast. And they're playing fast and all of that. Let me just say, these guys have talent, yes, but to me, it's almost like they have no feel. They're playing for the wrong reasons. I'd love to hear anybody's take on this out there. To me, it's like they're just playing, you know, just to show off. There's no feel. There's no love for the instrument. That's my take on it, you know, and I just see these guys playing these really fast beats. A lot of times they can't keep time. You know, it's sad in a way. But, you know, they can play. I just wish they would, you know, be educated a little more as far as drumming. I have some great guests lined up. My first big show is December 6th. And I'm just going to keep practicing until I get good enough for the 6th. I got a lot of audio clips to play and songs. Mostly the songs I'll be playing will showcase drums in the song. You know, a lot of famous drummers. I hope to have people from all over, you know, America calling me. I have the show on so many Facebook pages already. So, you know, the more people, the better. And I hope the show really takes off. I also like to talk about what drumming means to a drummer. To me, it means so much rather than just hitting an instrument. You know, there's so much to drumming that people don't get. I pretty much think about drums most of the day. If I'm not hitting something on a table or my drums, my teeth, yes. My teeth are moving, my toes are moving, my legs are always moving. And even when I go to sleep at night and my head hits the pillow, I'm thinking about drums. I would love other drummers to share some stories like mine. Maybe they think like me, maybe they don't. You know, it's just good to always hear from other drummers. We're going to be talking to some famous drummers and some local drummers. I love to get all different aspects of drummers to call my show. And I see a lot of drummers, you know, especially on Facebook and YouTube, when they put a solo out there. And let me just say something right now. When you put a piece of music out in the public, whether it's on YouTube, whether you release an album, whatever it is, what you're doing is saying to the public, do you like my stuff? Okay, and you have to be ready to take criticism. If there's some, I would always recommend corrective criticism. Never be nasty, but if you don't like something, say that. And I see a lot of musicians, especially drummers, you know, they put a solo out there or they do something. And if you don't like it and you say something like, well, it was okay, but not really too good. You're a bad person. Why is that? Can't we just all express our opinions in life, especially when it's something we know a lot about? So that's my take on, you know, aspects and people releasing music. Always be, you know, ready to accept criticism. Listen, if you release an album to a million people, do you really think a million people are going to like the album? No. And that's okay. People have different tastes, you know, so always expect that from somebody you know, different tastes and all that sort of thing. Right now, I'm going to play a great track from one of my favorite drummers. This is the great Bonham's Montrose from Mr. John Bonham. Let's pick up my first phone call ever. Who's out there?
Hi, Joe. This is Tom from Monroe, New Jersey. Love the
Tom,
show.
Tom, what's up, brother? What's going on, kid?
Joe, just checking in. Welcome to the land of Blog Talk Radio, and I hope the show's going well so far.
How's it sound to you?
Joe, so far it sounds great. It sounds nice and clear, and sounds like you're having some fun with it, so I'm hoping you have a good time.
Well, you know you're the reason why I'm doing this, so thank you, bro.
You're welcome, Joe. It's my pleasure, and I'm glad you're doing one for yourself.
What's going on?
Nothing, man. Just sitting back watching some TV. I looked up and said, "Let me check in on your show." And what's your topic tonight? What are you talking about?
Tonight, just going over, you know, what my show is going to be about. I got some guys calling in. You, Squid, hopefully Jeff, Roy Jones, just to get my, you know, feet wet by myself. And I got to tell you, Tom, my first show by yourself, you notice I'm actually sitting in my basement right now and I'm pumped up. I'm nervous. My hands are sweating, but it's all good. It's a great feeling, and I know how you feel now, you know, when you do it by yourself.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's a little unnerving. It's scary to a certain extent because you're trying to figure out how to keep everybody listening and keep a topic in your head and keep that topic, you know, updated and, you know, keep a flow. And it's tough, but you get through the first one, Joe, it gets easier and easier every week.
Tom, you have any questions about drums or drummers?
You know, Joe, my only question would be that this moment, since it's your first one, and I want to know what was your reason for getting behind the drum kit in the beginning? What was your influence? What made you become a drummer?
Well, Tom, you know, and this is going to sound weird because you're on the phone. I remember hanging out with your brother, and I played guitar, if you want to call it that, playing guitar. And we were hanging out at your house one night. I know you don't remember this, on Bay Street. And we had a band. It was called Deathbed. Do you remember that?
You know, Joe, now that you say it, Deathbed reminds me of something. It does. I don't remember the incident, but I do remember the band name.
Tom, it was me, you, your brother, and I slept over one night. And I was playing guitar. And because of my brother playing guitar, he was teaching me. And you were playing drums in the band Deathbed. We were touring the world. It was great. But I think about a week after that, I put the drums down, and I didn't play anything for a while. And then I remember being into bands like The Cars and The Knack. And one day I just said to myself, you know, I want to start playing drums. My brother was in the band Borderline, which you know of.
Sure.
And I started taking lessons a little bit from Joey Lungo, and 33 years later, you know, here I am. And I'm glad I switched from guitar to drums because I was horrible on guitar.
Well, you're not horrible on drums, and I'm glad you stuck with it, Joe. Well, let me ask you a question. What's your ultimate goal with the show? Is the show a mix of information on different drums and new stuff that's coming out, and maybe some lessons or some people calling in to give people some tips? And what's the idea of the show?
Tom, everything you said, I want to cover all aspects of drums: drum heads, drum hardware, drummers, why drummers do clinics, great drummers, not so great drummers, drum sets, drum sticks. Everything about drums, I want to go over lessons too. If I can help another drummer, or, you know, Tom, I watch about 50 drum videos a week on YouTube. Guys that are better than me, guys that are not better than me, because I believe we could always learn. So if I can help somebody out, or a guy in Michigan might call my show and help me out, you know, I'm really about helping each other out, you know, but I want to cover all aspects, you know, of drumming, and I want to find out from my guests, you know, what made their brain tick years ago to say, I want to be a drummer. So all aspects, nothing is off limits here, and we'll have some fun, you know, down the line. But everybody knows, you know, this wouldn't have been possible because of you. You started your show a year and a half ago, and we're still doing that. But I thank you so much, bro.
Nah, Joe, listen, man, the Hard Rock and Sports Show wouldn't be where it is today without you. And, you know, hopefully this is just give you a little something on your thing, and you'll still be with the Hard Rock and Sports Show, and we'll forge ahead. And I'm looking forward to a little bit of a break and then getting back on December 3rd and getting ready for the big show on the 12th at Liberty Post. So, you know, but in the meantime, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're having some fun with it. And, you know, I'm here to support you, and I'm here to help you. And I'm going to look forward to every Sunday night at 9 o'clock listening in on what you're doing.
Tom, thanks, bro. I love you. I got something queued up for you. I'm going to play it and then pick up another phone call. But listen to this, all right? This is for you.
You got it.
Now, during the Flower People period, who was your drummer? Stumpy's replacement, Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing a
festival.
Jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Blues jazz, really.
Blues jazz festival.
It was in the Isle
of Lucy.
Isle of Lucy. Jazz blues festival.
And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
like that.
It just went up.
It just was like a flash of green light. And that was it. Nothing was left.
Look at his face.
Well, there was.
It's true. This
true.
Really did happen.
There was a little green globule on his drum seat.
Like a stain, really.
It was more of a stain than a globule, yeah. Actually. And
you know,
it was
several, you know, dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys, that last phone call is real special to me. That's my friend for 35 years. He started a show that I'm involved called Hard Rock and Sports, the great Tommy Florio. And I always give credit to those who deserve credit. And he deserves a lot of credit for me being on the show tonight and doing my show. So thanks, brother. Right now, we're going to pick up another phone call. It's yours on the line. Hey, caller, you're out there. What's up?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Squid.
Squid, what's up, brother? How's it going, man?
What's going on, man? How's the first night of the show? How's it going?
It's going good. It's going better that you're on the line. Everybody, this is a great guy on Staten Island, Pat Squid, Squidateri. He is the drum guy around here. anybody ever help with drums, you call Pat up. He is the most giving guy out there. He's great to be around. And beside that, he's a phenomenal drummer. So what's on your mind, bro?
I just got out of the studio for 3 hours with the doo-wop band Just Friends, laying down
nice.
Some new tracks. And
cool, bro.
Tried out some new cymbals tonight, some new Pisties.
You know, I have my first guest, I don't know if I told you, is going to be Mr. Bill Zildjian from Zildjian
right.
Cymbals. I don't know if you ever met him.
No, I haven't.
Well, he's my first guest on December 6th, and I'm just curious to see. I want to pick his brain about cymbals, but let's stick with you a second if you got 5 or 10 minutes. Talk
sure,
to me
okay.
about cymbals, Squid. To me, there's so many different great brands. It's like buying a car, a BMW, a Mercedes, a Lexus. There's great cymbals from different companies. What's your take on cymbals, and what are your favorites?
Well, right now, my favorite ones I've been using would probably be the new line of Sabian, which are called the HHX line. And
right.
they've sort of been sponsored by, like, Dave Weckl and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be, these cymbals are the middle, I'm sorry, the bell area is sort of a darker than the rest of the cymbal. So you get a really good ting out of the bells, and the lathing part of the cymbal itself is nice and say medium thin, so you can use mallets to them or you know, sticks or whatever you like, but they're pretty versatile for anything.
Nice. And just give the listeners out there, give me your background about drums. What was it years ago that made Squid want to be a drummer? Was it a drummer, a song, a band? What was it?
Let's see. I guess when I first... probably heard the Beatles or Buddy Rich or any type of anybody playing drums in the 60s. I just got pretty much influenced to play. And
okay.
I started, you know, pretty much with a bunch of pencils and some coffee cans like everyone else did. You know, that I would gradually build myself up to a snare drum and maybe, you know, a broken bass drum or whatever I could find until I could afford, you know, a good set of drums. And obviously, now I have many sets of drums, so now I got my pick, but I worked for it, and no one ever gave them to me, so, you know.
Absolutely. Let's stay there a second, because this drummer, I don't think this drummer gets the respect that he deserves over the last 50-plus years. Is he Neil Peart on the drums? Absolutely not. But tell us why Ringo Starr was so tremendous and was so influential to people like you and me.
Oh, yeah, Ringo, man. Ringo did what the song called for. He played very tastefully, and I would just say consistently on everything he did. I mean, very tasteful drummer. I also played a few weeks with his first drummer, Pete Best. I went on a short tour with him for a couple of weeks, and we talked about that. And another great guy playing drums was Pete Best, too. I liked the way he played, too.
Absolutely. You know, I want to, before you go, I got one more thing I want to get to that's really got my blood boiling. I did it in my opening monologue. You know, Squid, I'm 46. I know you're a little older. I'm playing 33 years. You're playing longer. That's great. But there's this new age of drummers, Squid. And let me just say, these guys can play. They have talent. But I see these guys tuning their heads so high. And we know when you do that, the response is better. And you could play faster rolls. That's a given. And they got their bass drum pedals rigged up just to play fast. So these drummers today, although they have talent, I think sometimes they're playing for the wrong reasons. What's your take on that?
Well, that's definitely true. But, you know, I look at it this way. My tunings and the way everybody else tunes is, you know, what they like for their ear, you know, says it's acceptable for the sound. But lots
right.
of times I play smaller drums because I can tune them easier. You know, I use an 8-10 for top, a 12 for a floor tom right now, a 20-inch bass, and my assorted snares. So my 8-10 and 12 really sound like a 10-12, 16-22 without carrying the extra weight because I'm an older guy.
Right.
So, but you know, as far as heads go, tightening, tuning, it all depends what I'm playing, what I'm doing, and if I'm mic'd up. That's how I look at that.
But do you like this new age of drummers like that I mentioned? Because a lot of these guys are not doing the two essential things that a drummer should do. Be in the pocket and keep time.
Yeah, well, that's basically how I get paid when I play with a band that's playing in time. They're not playing and paying me to do drum solos.
Right, right.
You know, if they did pay people to do drum solos, that's all people would be doing. But, you know, when you get older like me, you know, young people, young guys, you know, 20s, they got a lot of stuff they want to prove, and they got a lot of chops, they got a lot of paradiddles and double pedals and all that stuff. But after a while, you know, the bands that I play with, they're happy if you just play what the music calls for and you play with a team effort, not to go crazy.
Right.
I mean, lots of times they'll give you a spot to do your little fills, and I always get that. But when you play for the song, it really sounds like the song, and everybody in general enjoys the music. It's not about you. I mean, when I'm getting paid, it's not because you know, I did this and that. It's because I was in a group, and the group itself exists on everybody doing what they have to do to make the music sound right.
Well, you said it right there in your little story there. You brought it up. You play to the song. I had a bass player once tell me, you could play Mary Had a Little Lamb, or you could play YYZ by Rush. Whatever you do, just play your ass off to that song. Play to the song.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So I just watch these new drummers, and, you know, they're great. I just think some of them have to get educated a little more about what drumming really is. But that's coming from an older guy, I'm not 21 no more.
They're all new. They're trying to start their own brand of drumming, I guess. I mean, I've seen gospel drummers out there, and I've hung out with people, and they have chops, and their feet are actually incredible. I mean, you know, the things they can do, but I don't do that when I play music. You know, I mean, when
right.
I'm playing for the song, I'm playing what the song needs. If I'm, like, just doing a three-piece or something where there's got to be more participation in each member, then I can do more of that stuff. But, I mean, it's great
right.
to know how to do all that stuff. When I solo, I do it on my own. I try and build something, but I do it with my own band. I don't really do it with any other band unless, you know, they call for it. But everything is to play for the song, make it sound good, and also make it feel good. Don't make it, like, stagnant. Make the music feel good. People want to dance because the drummer's up there, you know, rocking the band. And if the drummer stinks, the whole band stinks, and I don't care what anybody says. So I played with more people. The bass player was okay. The drummer was horrible. And the singer was great. But then I've been with bands where the band was crappy, but the drummer was great. You know, you got to
right.
keep that time. You got to keep pushing it. You got to make people happy. You got to make people thump their feet and get out and dance. In other words, you're not really doing your job, you know.
Squid, do you find over the years as you got older, I've used the same sticks for 33 years, Promark 5B wood tips.
Yeah.
Have you changed
Promark,
over
sure.
Have you changed?
I've been using Promark 5B for 10 years. I also went to Vic Firth for 5A's for many years, too, just because I got comfortable with them. But with the metal band, I was using a head sticks in the 7A model, which are the carbon fiber sticks that they say you don't break, but I broke them. Not that I intended
right.
to, but I broke them.
Right.
But
right.
the 7A's, to me, were the equivalent of a 5B in wood. And, you know, you just
okay.
put them, screw off the tip and put it back on, and you got a brand new stick. I used those for many years and pretty much worked pretty good.
I remember in the 80s, and this is the truth, I would use a 5B wood tip in my right hand, and in my left hand would be a 2B. I did that a lot. It worked for me. You ever do something like that?
I've used 2Bs on an occasion because I was playing an outdoor festival with a big kit. And I said, you know what? I just don't feel it. I feel like I was using toothpicks. So I put up the the 2Bs, like the marching drumsticks. And, you know, when you warm up on a pad and then you go on a 2Bs, it feels a lot different because your hands are used to the heavy weight. And when you pick those up, it feels like you're using a 7A. But the 2Bs are nice, and they have their applications when, you know, certain places you can use them. But most places, 2Bs are like crazy. You kill people with those things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, especially bro. In somebody's head, you know, forget about that. You gotta be calm. You gotta take it easy up there.
Oh yeah.
You know who uses 2Bs all the time? My good friend Nicky Capozzi.
Oh.
Goes out with 2Bs wherever he plays, and he makes it, you know, he makes it work great. I mean, the guy's incredible. You gotta give it to
Nicky,
him. 2Bs. 2Bs, it's amazing.
Nicky was my drum teacher for 2 years. I'm not sure you know that, but he's the guy that taught me everything. Yeah, so.
I spoke with Nicky the other day. We were talking for a while. Me and him talk pretty much a lot. We're good friends. We've been close since high school. And Nicky's phenomenal. Nicky's, you know, played it all. And he's always around the island playing. You could always see him with the Red Bazooka Band.
Nicky promised me the set that I learned on, the white premieres. He says when he sells them, I'm getting them.
Hey, I don't think you are, but okay. You could have one of my kits. I'll give you my Neil Peart Mahogany Superstars, 6 to 18.
Oof, my God, love it.
We got to take those ones out sometimes. We got to have a drum form and take all my kits out.
Oh, yeah, love it. Listen, bro. I appreciate you calling me on my practice show, and hopefully we talked before. I want you part of the show, and hopefully you'll be part of the show, but I'll talk to you soon.
I'll be
right
part of the show, definitely.
Good, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, bro.
Have a great night. Thanks a lot.
You too, bro. Guys, that was a great guy, great drummer from Staten Island, Pat Squidateri. Just a guy you could always count on. I see my next caller, probably my best friend in the world. Let me pick it up. Jeff, you there, bro?
What's up, sweetie? How are you?
What's going on? You all right? Those friggin' Jets, huh? How you doing today?
Oh, please. They just let you down. But congratulations. I see you got a new show going. Good for you, man.
Yeah. I kept it a secret for a while, and I actually announced it today on Facebook. It's just all about drumming. Tommy called before he talked, and he wished me luck. But it's just going to be on drums on Sunday night. But I'm happy you called. How does it sound out there?
Sounds good. Sounds good. And I'm sure you're going to be able to pass along a lot of knowledge. You know, you've been playing a long time, and seen you play with a lot of different bands, and I seen your videos on Facebook and YouTube. So, you know, people got to listen to what you're saying because you're giving around a lot of free lessons, so to speak, and a lot of good information to people.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, to me, it's not about money. And I'll be honest, I have students I teach. I don't teach. I teach them an hour a week. I can get $35 for that hour. I don't want any money. And like on YouTube, I told Tommy before, I'm on YouTube every day. I watch drummers who are better than me and are not better than me. It doesn't matter. I think as musicians, we could all get better from learning from somebody.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I agree. And that's the one thing. You could go to school and get a degree and learn, but music is something that there's always something new to learn, no matter how much you know. There's always something that you could learn from somebody on any level, no matter what it is, because somebody always does something better than you, no matter what their level is of playing. And, I mean, somebody that knows you playing for, Christ, man, 30 years ago we were playing, if not more.
Yeah.
It's good to see that you're passing on information to other people and helping other people out. That's the thing, you know. It's like giving back to what you learn from other people, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Anything on your mind about drummers you want to talk about real fast, a question, a drummer you like for all your life?
Well, let me ask you something while you brought it up. How do you feel about I heard somewhat of what Pat said about using smaller kits and everything for playing out. Do you think that using a smaller kit takes away from a stage presence for a drummer?
Jeff, I know where you're getting at, and it's an unbelievable question, because you know what it's like? It's like you've seen me years ago. I'm really comfortable on a 9-piece set, and I've always been that, to do all my trills. But I play now on a 4-piece set. I know what you're saying. Like, I don't think it takes away from the drummer. I think we do it, be honestly, because we get older and we don't want to carry it all around. And the 4-piece, man, they make sets now, Jeff, that you could fit everything in the bass drum to make it easier. So I think it might have something to do with, you know, the traveling and not carrying. But I love 3 concert toms, 3 across, 2 floor toms, 2 bass drums. You know, I love a big set.
Well, I see, and I believe me, dude, believe me. I mean, we've come from a time where people used to bring stacks out to play and SVTs,
right,
double bass sets and everything, the bigger the better. So I understand all of that. And now, I mean, I never had equipment that size, but when I do go and play, I'm bringing a 410 cabinet and 1 bass. I got a tuner so that I could change tunings if need be. So I understand that, you know, the aspect of getting older. But, I mean, do you think that it, you know, what about professional drummers? Like guys that, like Neil Peart, Lazar, okay, just to name a few that maybe have downsized their set. Do you think that it takes away from that kind of stage show when you go to see a concert and the drummer's playing like a 5-piece set or a 6-piece set instead of a 10? You know,
yes,
like when you see Metallica live, Lars has a single bass set for the most part. I mean, don't you want to see a full set with guys like that? Because they're not setting up their own stuff. For you, I can see that, because you got to bring your stuff, set it up, play, break it down. So I can see your point. But how about guys like that that don't have to do anything? They just go up on stage and off they go. Don't you feel as a fan that you're kind of getting a little ripped off a little bit?
Yes, and some drummers do it. Lars does it not as much as you think. I just seen him last week with a double bass and 2 toms. Not what he used like on Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, but I know what you're saying. I think some guys, Jeff, can get away with it. Believe it or not, Neil Peart can get away with it, but he's going back to the big set. There was a time where he used a smaller set. So I think different drummers can get away with it, but I think for most part, you want to go live. You want to go see Judas Priest and Scott Travis. You don't want to see 1 bass drum. You want to see 2 bass drums. And another guy who changed a lot over the year is one of my favorites, Scott Rockenfield. But now he's back to a bigger set. So I think like everybody else, drummers, their tastes changed. But like you said, I would rather see a live performance, you know, with a bigger set by some guys, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it just, to me, it just makes a better stage presence. To me, I like to look better. I mean, listen, if you're a good musician and a good drummer, it shouldn't matter if you have a 10-piece set or a 3-piece set. You should be able to do what you got to do and do it well. So I can understand that aspect of it. But to me, it's part of the stage show. And I just want to see it, you know, what I'm paying for. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And if I got upstairs in my house right now, as we speak, I got a set that's 11-piece, and I got 2 other sets set up. One's a 4-piece and one's a 5-piece. The 4-piece set, yes, you should be able to play anything you play on that 11-piece set. But the 11-piece set, to be honest with you, it gives you more variety. From a 6-inch to a 16-inch, different sounds. So the big set does give you more variety and more to choose from.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's just common sense. The more you have, the more you can hit. And, I mean, I'm going from personal experience now. I played in several Pantera tribute bands, as you know, over
right.
the years. And I played with Angel, this kid Angel. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's either Code or Cody.
He's a lefty,
he used
right.
to play. Yes, he's a lefty, and he played a five-piece kit, and he played everything he had to play perfectly.
He's got
I also
really
played for years.
Feet. I've seen him, yeah.
And he had small toms.
Right.
I don't remember how big his bass drum was, but it wasn't the biggest set. Then I played with Billy Cavanaugh, who mm-hmm. was a drummer around Staten Island for years. He doesn't play no more, unfortunately. And he had a huge Tama set. I mean, toms as big as some people's four toms. And
right.
when he hit them, it was like the sound was unbelievable. And he also played everything equally as well. So, I mean, there was a fine example of two people playing the same music on different size sets. And if you closed your eyes, you probably wouldn't be able to tell who was playing what set. You may be able to. I know I wouldn't have been able to. So,
well,
I mean, you know, they were both playing adequately on the size set that they were using.
Jeff, bringing this up, when you have a smaller tom, a tom that's not as deep, and this is just common sense, anybody can understand this, you have a tom that's 6 or 8 inches in depth. When you have a tom that's 15 inches, when you hit the 6-inch, the bounce back is faster, and you could do faster stuff because you're not, it's not taking all the time from the 15-inch to go boom, and then get to the bottom and come back. So a lot of these guys, they are good and great, but they do it for a reason with the smaller toms to get different sounds and go fast around the kit. But it takes nothing away from their talent.
No, well, listen, like I heard you say with Pat, you know, and he said that he gets paid to play in time. And that's
right.
true. That's what a drummer's job is to do. You know, a lot of people want to see a drum solo, and that's great. But let's face it, if the drummer's not playing in time, the
yeah.
song isn't going to sound good, and you're not going to want to wait around for the for a drum solo. So I can understand what you're saying, how the smaller set would allow you to do different things and maybe
mm-hmm.
go a little quicker. That makes total sense to me.
Right.
You know?
Well, When Pat said that, you know what he did, I told him about this new age of drummers, which I'm not crazy about, just my taste. And then a guy like Ringo Starr, who was all about those things you just mentioned, Jeff, keeping time and being in a pocket. That's what you want when you're a drummer, no?
Well, yeah, of course. Of course, there's always a time and a place and you know, I too have watched plenty of YouTube videos of different drummers throughout the years, just watching them. And you said there are some drummers that just keep a basic beat and keep time. And then there's some drummers that just the stuff that they add in as they're playing is just unbelievable. Excuse me, dude.
Right.
One guy
I'll
that I think
you...
is really good is the guy from Mudvayne, Matt McDonoghue, I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch him play on YouTube, it's just unbelievable what
right.
the stuff that he fits in there and that he plays. And it's not a basic beat. He's playing a basic beat, but it's not because it's the stuff that he adds in, the fills and everything. So
right.
I understand what you're saying. Some people could do it and take it away, and others can't and shouldn't. Like, you couldn't see that happen with AC/DC.
Well, I was just going to mention three drummers that I want you to listen and I want you to understand this, how they're all great. Phil Rudd, Scott Rockenfield, and Neil Peart. And they all play a little different. You know, one is pretty solid. Rockenfield's in the middle. And then Neil Peart over the years, what he's done. So, but they're all great timekeepers and they're all great drummers. Just because Phil Rudd is always in the pocket and on time, the two things we love, but people always put the guy down, it's not fair in a way, you know?
No, I hear you. I mean, if he's doing the job that he's asked to do, then
mm-hmm.
he's really not doing anything wrong. You know, he's just playing, and AC/DC is a pretty much straight-ahead bluesy rock band, and there's really no room for
right.
somebody to go totally off like that, whereas in
that's
Queensryche,
the whole thing. Yeah.
To me, Scott Rockenfield, he does a lot, and I may be wrong, and I may be saying this wrong, but I think you can understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
He does a lot more cymbal work and beats off the hi-hat, I feel. You know, like he the way some of the stuff off of Operation Mindcrime, where he's hitting the hi-hat and another hi-hat on the side that he's doing at different beats, different fills. Yeah. And it's just like it's amazing how he works off of the cymbals like that. And then Phil Rudd, you know, is a good example because you said that he plays just a basic beat, and he pretty much does. It's just I can play that stuff.
Right.
And but it fits the music. And shouldn't the beat fit the music instead of the music working around the beat?
Absolutely. I've done two videos on this. The Queensryche song called Eyes of a Stranger, the beginning.
That's the one I was talking about. I couldn't think of the name of him.
He's doing a hi-hat and ride back and forth. It's pretty. It's not hard, but it's cool. I call it the teeter-totter beat, up and down, up and down. So it's pretty cool. But if you listen to Neil Peart on a song called Subdivisions, he did that probably 8 years before. So a lot of drummers do that. You know, a lot of progressive guys, Mike Portnoy, Thomas Lang, guys like that do stuff like that. That's a little extreme, you know, but it's good. But, you know, like you said, Phil Rudd, probably you can't find a better drummer to fit, like you said, Jeff, that band.
You know who else has a song that they did a weird beat with two hi-hats? And that was Vinnie Paul from Pantera. He has a couple songs that way also. And
what song?
I think it was off the Cowboys from Hell. Primal Concrete Sledge.
I'll check it out.
The name of the song. And he does this beat. It's like an odd beat, and it's more off like toms, but you'd have to hear it. You'll know what I'm talking about when you hear it. And to me, I think he's a great drummer for Pantera. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would be able to, you know, I know he's in Hell Yeah now. I don't know if he'd be able to play that, you know, as equally as well in another band. You know, I'm not a big fan of Hell Yeah. I don't know how you feel about those guys. But
I never really heard them. But like you said, there's drummers out there that are perfect for the band. I mean, there's so many guys that fit the band they're in perfectly. And it's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, and you know something else too, dude. I mean it's straight from the subject of what we were just talking about. But like when you say about drummers that are perfect for bands, you know, right now I'm in a couple cover bands, you know, with Red Rum and the Hard Rock and Sports Band. So I'm working with a couple different drummers, and over the years of playing out, the different style of some of the drummers that play on Staten Island is just unbelievable. There is a lot of talent, drummer wise, on Staten Island. It's really a good time to play out, especially now that I'm older and I understand the music more than I did when I was younger. And you learn to appreciate certain people, the things that they could do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, sure.
You know, I got to play a show last year with Pat Squid, with Sharon and Paul Jansen at the Marine League. I've played a couple shows with Joe Drums, Jimmy Pinto, Angel, Billy Cavanaugh over the years. All great drummers and all different, completely different style of drummers.
That's great.
You know, I love it, man. I love it because they could all cover such a wide variety of stuff. And I like to see that, a different, you know, I feel as though it's better to be broader as you're playing because it's going to make you a better musician.
Right.
You know, I play strictly metal and hard rock, so I don't consider myself a great bass player.
Right.
I could play decent, but I'm not great because I kind of pigeonholed myself into one style of music. You know what I mean? Some of those guys I just mentioned could play a different variety of music. And it's cool to hear them and watch them play. Sometimes when they're on. And even when they're not having a good night, they're still good. You know what I mean?
Right. I hear you. And it makes you a better bass player.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Without a doubt. You know, it's nice to have over the years seen some of the people that we got to see play and hear some of the different styles of people. Nicky Capozzi, watching him play is always fun. You know, there's a lot of great people out there playing, and it's unfortunate that some of them will never be seen by the right people. You know, you're another example of somebody, a great drummer, who plays just the right way that it's supposed to play. You're not adding things in. We got to record the theme for the Hard Rock and Sports Show.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you did your fills, everything fit in right. It was just, you know, it's a cool experience. And I dig watching other people play sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do it all the time on my show. Listen, Jeff, I got one more caller before my time's up. Bro, I love you. I got something for you. Stick on a line, hear this little clip, and then I'll hang up, bro. All right? I love you. All thanks. Right. Listen,
dude,
check this out.
With the show.
Now, during the Flower People period, who was your drummer? Stumpy's replacement, Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing a
festival,
jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Blues jazz, really.
Blues jazz festival.
It was in the Isle
of Lucy.
Isle of Lucy.
Jazz
blues festival.
And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
Just like that.
He just went up.
He just was like a flash of green light. And that was it. Nothing was left. Well, there was.
It's true. This truly did happen.
There was a little green globule on his drum seat.
Like a stain, really.
It was more of a stain than a globule, actually. And
you know, dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
No, bro, that's great, man. I love it. Good luck with the show, dude, and I'll talk to you soon. And if I don't talk to you, have a great Thanksgiving, bro.
You too. I'll call you soon.
Later, man.
That was my best friend, Jeff Towinski. Let's see who we got online right now. Caller, you're on Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis. What's up?
I like to know how to play drums. You have drums, right?
Who's this?
This is Ahmed. I want to know how to play drums.
Hey, what's up, Ahmed? What's going on?
Hey, not too much. You know, I'm looking for Zildjian cymbal and some Letwicks.
Oh, Letwicks. Okay. They sound like a new sneaker brand.
I don't know what this is talking about, sneaker brand, but I want to play drums. You can tell me how to do this, right?
Absolutely. What do you want to know about it?
Well, like I said, I want the Zildjian cymbal, and I want to set the Letwicks.
Do you want to start lessons?
Yes. But I need drum set first. I need drum set first, no? I need
the
drums.
Well, first you got to get the right... You got to get sticks in your hand. You got to get knowledge before you hit things. You don't know how to hit.
What? Okay. You know drums. What kind of stick should I use?
That depends on everybody is different. You know, what you're comfortable with. I would start out with like a 747 maybe. You got to get them in your hand and you got to see what works for you. You know, I use the same stick for 33 years and I don't think I'll ever change. So everybody's different as far as the stick.
A 747? You mean like the plane? Am I gonna put the plane in my hands? I don't know what you're talking about. What 747 are you talking about?
It's a drumstick. All drumsticks have numbers on them. The bigger the number is, the skinnier the stick. 747s are skinny. I use a 5B, which is a little fatter, and once in a while I use a 2B, which is even fatter. So you gotta get them in your hands and see which one you're most comfortable with.
Okay. So you tell me the cost, and I send you the money, and you get me sticks and Zildjian cymbal and a set of Letwicks.
Absolutely. I'll get right on it.
Okay. How much are you going to be? You give me your address. I will send you the money. You're going to teach me how to play, right? Because,
I'll teach you
what am I
going
to do with all these drums if I don't know how to play these?
I'll teach you. I'll send you video lessons because you're probably in like where are you located?
Right now, I'm in Afghanistan.
Okay. I'll make some videos for you, and we'll do a video session, all right?
Okay. You have this thing. I'm looking, let's see. I'm looking, and I see that, I know I call it America, and I'm looking at this, and, you have, like, American restaurants, a fine quality American restaurant in your country, right? So, listen, I want you to do me a favor. You send me Burger King burgers and the drumsticks with the Ledwigs and the Zeljins, and I'll be okay. You can do this?
Great. Absolutely.
Okay, great. My friend, you're my friend, right? We're friends.
Absolutely.
Now.
We're friends.
Okay. We're friends now? Okay, good. Joe Gandis, what's up?
What's up, Roy, you maniac?
Roy,
thanks for calling
Jones,
in.
Maniac. You got your drum show. You're all pumped up for this. You're going crazy. What's the story? I mean, how's it going? Did anybody else call in besides Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff called in. He's still on the line. Matter of fact, I'll pick him up in a minute if I can. Tommy called, my friend Pat. But I got to tell everybody how I started doing this show. I got 3 minutes left tonight. I told Roy last week I want to do a show. I want to talk about everyday stuff, things that go on in our world. And Roy typed to me something that it froze me. He said, why don't you do a drum talk show? And as I'm frozen right now, I was watching the screen and it's just awesome. So I got to thank you for giving me the idea.
Well, you're welcome. But I really don't need the credit for it. I mean, for telling you and because, you just do what you know. I mean, to do something that you don't know, it wouldn't make sense. You know the drums. You've been a drummer, a great drummer, for a very long time. So, you stick to what you know, and you do that. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It took you to actually bring it out because I wasn't thinking drums. But I'm so glad because I am pumped up. I'm just happy that you, you gave me the idea. So, thank you.
And I know you're not a procrastinator on this, and I know you're all go. And it was nice to see that you already have guests coming on. That's fantastic. You got Bill Zeljin coming on, right?
Right. Yes.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I also got a drummer. I got a Brian Tishy coming on soon. So I'm working on that. I'm not worried about getting guests like I do on a Hard Rock and Sports show. I get guests easy, but I want to focus more on the local guests, Roy, to showcase.
Right.
A lot of drummers that I know, even I got the show, like that. So I want to give back to people, give them a chance to come on the show and talk about what they know. And it's all about drummers, every aspect. And that's about it for tonight. I got a minute and a half again. You got anything before I go?
Yeah. Lane Music. He's what's his name? Al Jr. I don't know. I forgot their last name.
Al,
but he's a drummer.
Yes.
And, you might want to talk to him about having him on the show as well. Promote his store, get him on, tell him we can do the commercials for him and everything, We could still do too, by the way. So
great idea. Live on the air. Didn't think about it. I know his father, Al.
Yeah, I know his father.
Yeah,
is his dad still around?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've been thinking I might go in there soon.
Yeah, it's been years since I've been in there.
Yeah, bro. Listen, I got 45 seconds left tonight. I only did an hour. I wish we could talk. Hopefully, you'll call back on December 6th. My first show. I got a Bill Zeljin. And a great local drummer, Tony Lazzara, who's in my brother-in-law Tony's Van Halen band right now. So we got a good show. I want to thank Roy Jones, Jeff Towinski, Tommy Florio, and Pat Squidateri for calling in tonight. Roy, I love you, bro. And any last words?
Man, good luck with it. That's what good luck, bro. I hope it. I hope you get it done, and it's real nice.
All right, bro.
And you get lots of listeners.
I got 5 seconds. Thanks, brother.
Later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, bro.
Bye-bye.
Da-da-da-da.